Okay, we're back to Raise Up Podcast. Thank you for coming.
I'm Charlie.
Yes, and I'm Athena. We're your hosts today, and we're so glad that you guys showed up and tuned in, and we love to hear from everyone who is listening. If you've got some topics that you're interested in understanding about business, or you just have a question, please, you can go to our website at raiseupmindset.com. Insert a question there, or you could always just private message us.
Yeah, anytime.
Absolutely. So last episode, we caught you guys up on what we've been up to lately because we've been on this like crazy travel train, it seems like. And really, so this episode, we just wanted to share some of the things that were going on within the organization while we were out, and some of the changes that team members deal with when top leadership is out of the building or out of the state, and maybe it's something that you guys experience, or it's something, some of the challenges are things that we could shed some light on.
I think you're in my camera view. You switched angles. Yeah, there you go. You're just,
whoops.
You did that earlier too. So anyways, I guess there's a disbelief that if we're not around, that things can't still happen. And in our organization, I think it's a little bit differently. We've geared ourselves up to have management and people in place that can manage some things. And I know as a owner forever that I thought if we weren't involved in every decision, what was going on, what's happening with the day-to-day decisions, it was going to, you know, catastrophically fail or have a problem.
Crash and burn.
Yeah, and I just want you as business owners to understand that we can leave. We can do some stuff if you're set up the right way and you have some things in leadership advice. And, you know, one of our friends, Paul, told us is like, you know, you have to let some of your team run and control some things. And if they make small mistakes or things like that, it's a learnable, it's a teachable moment. They'll never, ever go any further than they are is what you set their limitations at. And I think that's one of the things is we try not to set limitations on our team. We definitely have some guides and some borders that they have to stay within.
Yep.
But we definitely try to get them to make some decisions. And when they make a decision, it's not a wrong decision. It's just how can we make that decision differently, or what would be a better decision if it wasn't exactly what we would have done? Or if it's a better decision, we ask them how they came up with that so we can understand from them how things are better, so how they can make it better. So in saying all that, you know, that's what affected us be able to leave as much as we did and be gone for 3 weeks and not really have to worry about it. Payroll was taken care of. HR issues were taken care of. There was a lot of people that were hired. There was a few people that have separated from our company. Mm-hmm. And everything went on as the day went on. And, you know, I got to give plugs for our leadership team. I mean, they were great. A lot of them put in some extra overtimes. There were some drivers that were sick. We had one of our managers got in a car accident. She was out for a few days, but everybody stepped up in that level. And that's what you want in your management team. You want people to be able to step up and to leadership. You want them to be able to take care of instances. And then, you know, they fill us in on what's going on. But, you know, we were kept like a constant feed of things that we needed to know what was going on, but it wasn't like too many different things we had to take action on.
We actually had a DOT audit going on while we were in DC. So
yeah, can you imagine you business owners that are in our transportation world leaving in the middle of this to go to the National Limousine Association or go to our Awaken group as we have a federal DOT audit going on.
Yeah.
And there were some questions and things that we had to help some of our team members on because, you know, of course, you know, we've been in CIS almost 25 years now.
We've been in several audits, whereas some of them, this was their first or second audit. So absolutely. And I think really the philosophy that I have here at BAC is that we don't have these epic failures. We have unintended outcomes. And that softens this idea of, like, what does it mean to have a failure? The unintended outcome, you can look at it and go, okay, that wasn't so awesome. We're going to not do that next time. So what do we need to do to not do that next time? Because that was definitely an unintended outcome. And like Charlie mentioned, the idea that really the bigger picture here is that we're creating this safe space within the organization so that people can step out of survival mode and just getting through to the next shift or the next day or whatever, and start to think about what type of creativity can I bring to this? Fresh ideas, new understanding. And that's really the secret sauce of helping to grow and cultivate this leadership team. Is my famous answer to a lot of the questions, if I don't see it being a problem. Now, mind you, they don't ask Charlie. Sometimes they'll ask me, and I'll be like, sure, let's try it, run the experiment. And he's like, whoa, wait a second. Like, let's talk about this for a minute. And but
there's got to be a yin and yang.
I'm more free to, yeah, let's try it. And if there is an unintended outcome, don't get me wrong, we've both been in business for almost 3 decades. So if I don't see it being something that's going to be harmful to the team, the customer, or the organization, and they just want to try something and it makes sense, why not?
Well, and the other flip side of that is that we've tried some of these experiments at the time and they didn't sometimes work, but it doesn't mean it can't work now.
Right.
It's a different culture and a different life than it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what worked 20 years ago might not work today. And in fact, probably what did work 20 years ago is not working today.
Yeah.
What worked last year is differently than this year. Our culture changes so much in our industry and the people change so much that we really have to be on the forefront of changing with it. And I had a hard time with this at first because I was like, you know, we're employing people, they should do their job and they should be happy with that. And it's not the case anymore. It's the culture, the environment. And I wouldn't say more of a difficult time. I think I drug my feet a little bit more on the culture and the ones because, you know, I felt like we were doing a job. We paid our bills, we paid our employees, we treated them well, but differently, seeing the difference in the culture of our company and how we've done the raise up. And, you know, I wasn't at first raise up, I didn't understand. And it was me that was the holdback. It wasn't you. You were the innovator of it. It was me kind of holding back some of that culture there because I still felt like I was the older school. Now that we have an 8-year difference between you and I, I sometimes understand that the culture sometimes is as us as older people or people that have been in the business, or we have to be the ones to be willing to change. It's not our employees as much, it's us. And they have to be a part of the program our employees do. They really have to be on board with what we're wanting, but senior leadership has to be on board too. And the seniorist is us, you know, that's you and I. So in saying all that, it's sometimes as business owners, especially owners in our group, we get so headstrong sometimes about who we are and what we did and what we've accomplished that we have to set back and say, okay, what else can we accomplish and how much more can we do with a smaller amount of time? Like, we spend so much energy about complaining about things and how things are, then we can really just change that culture a little bit and not have those issues. As we were having our manager meeting today, like,
yeah,
smaller things, just talking about you know, work invoices and things that are coming up and work orders. How can we streamline that so we're not having a 16-step program to get to where we are
to get paid?
I was talking about the work orders, not the paid part.
Okay, but you're talking about the maintenance.
Yeah, the maintenance and work orders on this is one thing that we just need to be able to streamline for our employees and for our management team and for our mechanics. But the other side of that, as you were just speaking, is like, we're switching our culture now. Like, we used to take a 50% deposit when somebody would make a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made sense to us then because some people didn't even take it. They just took the reservation. It was nothing. And then as we start looking that some of these didn't get paid or something happens or something got dropped the ball, what are we doing? When you book a airline ticket on any airlines, you don't get to say, hey, I'd like to give you just 50% right now, and then I'll pay you the 50% the day of.
Right, right.
They look at you like, I'm sorry, there's no reservation here. Because if you don't take it, somebody else will. And when we're limited on vehicles, we are, and we're very fortunate. We have more vehicles than a lot of other companies because we have spares upon spares because of our contracts. But you don't get to dictate that. We don't get to dictate that with the airlines or things like that. It has to make sense for our culture and our company. So we have made a change effectively,
yeah,
that we are now taking 100% of the payment up front. It doesn't change the fact of our refund policies or whatever else that we have in effect. we're not going to be that company that has to make that second step, that third step, to chase after the other 50% of the money or wait for it, because time is money and the energy that we spend into it. So when you're doing 250 to 350 trips a day and we have to chase after 75 of them to do it, how much time and energy did we lose to collect the money that we should have just collected in the beginning? And this is almost 25 years in the industry, but the industry's changed differently
from
then.
And that's the key, is that there's times and places for everything. And you might not, part of it could be that you have a limiting belief around maybe a rate, like something really profound. I was hosting one of the roundtables at the Chauffeur Driven Limo, National Limousine Association show in DC. And one of the gentlemen that I was mentoring at that table, he said, you know, I just couldn't get over my fear of raising my rates. And then I finally did it and nothing happened. And it was like a light bulb went off for him at that time. And there are so many business owners out there that know that their profit percentage has gone down significantly over the last 24 months and that they're like, they're in fear of raising their rates and losing the client base that they already have. And it's like, we must make some of these shifts in our businesses. And for us, eliminating the 16 steps or whatever the count was to getting paid, we're in a position where we are going to be using that energy to serve our customers in a higher way than spending all of this time working to collect money on jobs that we've already done.
And guys, when we're talking about this, is that we know that it's harder to find good employees these days. And I say not even good employees, just employees itself, more the ones that we're looking for, the mm-hmm. higher step ones. And then if we have to have them chasing down ideas or money that we're already supposed to collect up front, this is our limited belief. And we had some of those limited beliefs about raising our prices, fuel surcharges,
remember, fuel's
$5 and 10%. And we did this, but we realized that we have so much time, we have so much energy, we have so many employees, we have so much resources that we want to be the top of our tier in collecting whatever we're doing. And we want to deliver the top of our tier on top of that. And we can't do that if we're doing mindless jobs. When I say mindless, unnecessary. Okay, let me rephrase it. Unnecessary steps to collect what we should have just collected in the beginning.
Yes.
So when you guys are in your companies and you guys think that you're not worth it, listen, if you're the same price as you were a year ago, you're 8 to 10% down already off what your margins are. If you're 2 years, you're 18 to 20%. Food has gone up 30%. Employees' wages has gone up 20%, 30%. Your insurance has gone up maybe 30 to 50 to sometimes 100%. It matters
depends
what area
you're in.
So you are just declining down a hill so fast, it's going to be so hard for you to catch back up. And what we learned is nobody likes to see a 15 or 20% increase, but nobody really minds a 5 or 7% increase on some different years that you're in there. So if you're slowly graduating with the cost of living, with everything else is going on, and you're still making your margins and parts are staying the same, vehicles are staying the same, your employees are staying the same, you have to gauge that to what it is. If you don't, you have a job. You don't have
a
business.
You own your job.
You own your job. And your job is what you have to do. And I can tell you that we owned some of our jobs in the very beginning of our career.
Absolutely.
And we were building ourselves into where we are at now. But as we slowly went down this lane of like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore, we raised prices up to the corners of where we're at. And when we have some serious price increases or some things are going there, sometimes we'll explain a letter to our clients and explain to them, hey, I'm so sorry, vehicles have gone up $14,000 per vehicle, the vehicle you want us to provide. Parts have gone up 40%. Labor has gone up. Workman's comp's gone up. All this stuff has gone up. We are just trying to keep ourselves at a profitable level for you. And we're trying to keep it in a way that you're going to understand this. So this is the reason we're sending you this letter to say your price increase is going to be 7% instead of 5% this year, because this is where we have to be at. And a lot of them appreciate that. They it's easy for them to go to their bosses or anyone else and say, here's what it is. And they can fact check almost 99% of that stuff
because
it happens.
Well, they know because they're experiencing it in their own organizations.
Yeah.
But
when California's going to start paying people $25 an hour work at McDonald's, I mean, you got to understand that your Big Mac is not going to be $3.96. It's going to be $9 for that Big Mac now, because they have to be able to afford to be able to pay that labor to get it.
Absolutely. And really, you are the one that is tasked with the goal of maintaining a sustainable business model.
Profitable, sustainable.
And part of that sustainability is making sure that you're profitable, making sure that you've got the team in place and that you're building an organization that people want to come to work, that it's their life. When people come here to work at BAC, they're joining us in their life for a good portion of their waking day. And we take that really seriously. And we also understand that there's a flip side to, there's the financial piece, but then there's also, what are we allowing that we need to revisit? And sometimes, like, there's a reason why the accountability is the A in Raise Up, because that accountability piece is so important to keeping those guardrails that Charlie mentioned. It's so important to have these guardrails, and when you kind of let them soften, then it's a challenge to leave for a period of time, because the mice are starting to play, and so we've really spent a lot of time instilling these values into the leadership team and cultivating them within the new leadership team members, that this is the reason why Raise Up resonates so much with us, because it is about responsibility, but the accountability piece is how we show that we love you. You don't get to run amok. And it's the missing piece I see in businesses often, where they're dialed in on the sales piece, but they're allowing things that are creating drama in the day.
Yeah, you know, we have so much going on in our lives now that we don't need to take on that extra burden of the drama. But, you know, as business owners and as entrepreneurs, we know that's part of some of the responsibilities we take on. And when you have a good group of employees, some of that is a little less. And then when you kind of let some of the How would I explain it? Some of the people are not performers as well as are good performers. Well, they sometimes bring down some of that energy on some of those ones. And so we either got to heighten them up. And what I love about some of our employees is some of them will tell them, saying, hey, you know, one of my favorite things is Lorelai says, hey, I trained you. I was there. You're like that broken wheel on a cart that's just like dangling, and you're making me look bad. And I laughed because I happened to pop on the cameras and heard that. And I still remember that to this day. That was like, you know, you're making me look bad. I trained you. But some of our employees will really step up and say, hey, this is really the way to do it, and explain it to them in a way. Sometimes you and I wouldn't be able to explain it to it, because it's coming from a level of this way back and forth, where it's not, you know, it's a higher tier area.
The peer-to-peer has always been, I think, the best way that people receive information.
I agree. And I think that's where we get our downloads from some of the groups we're in, is because it's our same peers that are inside there. We're learning from each other, you know. And I can tell you, some of the employees have such great ideas that we're sometimes, and I wouldn't say out of the loop, but we're not driving day to day like they are. We're not seeing some of the things they are, that they come to these great ideas and we're like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, why didn't I think of that? Well, we're not in the business of driving those people every single day. So they might have a better route. They might have something else that's a little bit differently. So we look at that and say,
or notice changes that have happened in the environment that we're not, we have a pulse on what's going on, but we're not in the weeds on that particular corner.
Yeah. So, lot to learn, and every day there's more to learn. So I just really look at that and saying, you know, this is a it's a wonderful industry, and what I love about this industry, and we always get areas of being burnt out sometimes, just things coming up, and after a tough summer season, we're all a little bit more tired because we're always a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, but mm-hmm. there's a little bit added pressure of 25 to 30% more of that happens during the summertime, and I can tell you that I'm appreciative of all the time and effort that everybody puts in, and we're very lucky to have some of the staff that we are. And when I say lucky, it's not because we luckily hired them. We're lucky that we have such great people that have been with us for such a long time that they put that time and effort. And we try to do the same in them too.
Absolutely. If you are a business owner that you're just thinking to yourself, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to leave town for 2.5 or 3 weeks, and what are some practical things that I could start to think about and maybe put into place to even imagine having that happen? Like, the first thing that comes to my mind is, if you don't have a process of how you generate income and then how you deliver whatever it is that you're doing, like, that's where you start. So for instance, you have your sales process. So how do you connect with your client? How do you sell them? You have to understand how that is. Some of it is as easy as like BAC. They contact us. We explain to them our offerings. We schedule whatever it is that they're looking for, and it goes into the reservation system. And then we have the follow-up to confirm and all of that. But then the other piece is, like, how does that get delivered? Well, the driver arrives this much time before their trip, and then there's the bullet points. And so that's one piece that is absolutely critical, because if it's just you right now, you need to understand what that is, so that when you start to bring on an additional helper to start growing or scaling up, that it's really clear communication. So then the next piece, Charlie, you want to go into, like, when you think back to how we started to build this up so that we started to gain some of the freedoms that we have now.
Like, well, I think it was trial and error and a little bit of it. I mean, some of it we were trying to see what the team can really take on and how much they could take on. And then surprisingly enough, they took on a little bit more than we would, and some didn't take as much on. So, I think that trusting them, giving them some direction, being part of some of the decisions they're making, asking the questions, if you did this, would you do it the same decision you did last time? Especially when you have some things that could have been improved a little bit more, just like in a fire scene or EMS scene, after everything's happened, they always go over like an overtake of what happened with the scene.
Debriefing.
Yeah, debriefing. You always want to improve on the things you do. We do a lot of airline diverts, and one of the things that we always do is, like, we've got it down so pat now, it's so easy for us to do because we've done it so many times, we've kind of talked about it.
Yeah, process.
We have a complete process. So having them stick with it, and then, stop and look around. If there's something that seems like it's not right, or if something's not going right, do a 360. What are we doing? How are we doing this? Ask somebody else, or contact one of us and talk to us about it, saying, hey, I'm not really feeling comfortable about this. What's your thoughts on this? Stop and before you get yourself in too deep. And I think that our team members know that they can do that with us anytime. And they have asked us. I mean, sometimes we've been asked the easiest of questions because somebody hasn't done it in a long time, and we just kind of rebriefed them. It's like, that's right, that's what we're supposed to do. But on the other side of it, I rather them come and ask us the questions before we go in a little bit too deep or go somewhere we shouldn't than it was. As some of our, I like is that when we have a group or something that's coming up, sometimes we go pre-plan the trip before we do it. So we'll go drive up to the areas that we're not familiar with. We'll have the team members go do it. We'll look at the route.
Make sure that bus will fit on that
road. Yes, because how many times we've been there and like, oh yeah, it's going to be super great. And then we get there and they're like, well, it was super great for an SUV, but not a 56-passenger motor coach unless you have some experience in it. So it's always a learning process. I mean, it's just, and I think we're very lucky that we've had some team members here for quite some long time, and they know our processes, they know how we think. I'll never forget somebody who's like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Charlie's not gonna be happy about that. And they know what's gonna make me, it's gonna make me wonder why they're doing it that way than it is for somebody to just say, well, I'm going to ask permission later. You know, that's not a, you know, that's not a thing with us sometimes when, you know, there's some things that are clearly in our bounds that they're outside the bounds, you know, like, hey, if it's, we're going to go outside these bounds, definitely ask us what we should be doing on this. You know, get some more clear insights from our GM or our operations manager. Just don't make that decision on your own. You know, always legal, ethical, it's the right thing to do, it's customer-based. Those are things I'll always support on. But, you know, if you're going to go outside those boundaries, you better be making a phone call and asking us.
Or if you're not sure where those boundaries are. It's like...
That's why you have a manual, though, too.
We have manuals
and we have handbooks and we have, you know, what's supposed to be there. I mean, we've seen a lot of instances that have happened over the last 25 years that we've addressed and seen something that's going to be there's always the one-offs. It's the second or third.
And that's
times.
The other piece, too, is that you will have the one-offs. And I mean, I often will think to myself, I can't even write the stuff that happens at times. I'm just not that creative, but the thing is it's like we do determine, is this a one-off or do we need to put some policy around this and start communicating to people that, hey, this is the direction we want to head if we're faced in this situation. And the communication piece is, I don't think you can over-communicate in business at this point. There is this, there's so many ways that we communicate with our team now, the different message boards and email and phone and text and signage, and we've got screens up in the break rooms, and it's like everyone is going to receive information in a different way. And so if you're just kind of like doing this whole campaign, it's important, I think, to just understand that people aren't receiving information the same way that you are.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, recently we've had some team members that are not with us anymore, and this is okay. Sometimes the journey in their life is they need to go somewhere else too, and they need to find out where their pathway is. And when I say this is, I just got news that one of our paramedics just got offered a 911 position, and I just got a text before this, and I am so happy for him. One of the people wanted me to congratulate him, tell him about he got the position. I said, it's going to be more coming from you than it would be me. But I was the first one to congratulate him after he did it. I am so proud to the fact that he's getting a 911 position for it. And that is part of our raise up. That's part of us wanting them to go to their next journey. And when I see people separated, it didn't mean that they separated in a bad place. It means that they're separated in a good place. And there are some people that maybe that have separated on terms that maybe it wasn't what they wanted or what we wanted. But it doesn't mean that their journey is not going to still go on. It means that we're going to put them in a place that is going to be more comfortable. And sometimes one of us has to be the person to say, this is not comfortable anymore.
Or this is not healthy for you.
Healthy for you. I know every one of you employers have seen this. Like, you've hired friends or family members or people that you believed in and things that are there. And it doesn't make them a bad person. It doesn't mean that we don't care about them. It doesn't mean that we don't there. It just means they're not aligning with the goals and things that we're looking for. Or in their life, they just don't see there's a way out. And sometimes we have to show them that way out to do it so they can go on with the next thing in their life. And they might just be saying, well, this is comfortable for me enough to stay in it, but I don't really want to be in it. And that's not the environment we want them in. Yeah. And then the other ones, like one of our paramedics that just got hired, he's been wanting to get on a 911
system.
This
is a dream
and this
coming
is,
true.
This is something that I always say that EMT, we're going to have some career people, and we're going to have some people that are going to, this is going to be a
starting
way for them to get into the EMS and firework, because they get great patient contact, they get great doctor's reports, they get to do a lot of report writing, they get some stuff that's going to make them familiar getting into the 911 system. And it's so great that they get to do this and we get to be part of that. And you know, we've had people leave and come and come back and forth, and they're just, you know, excited. And they always say, you know, I always started with you guys and you guys were awesome to work with and great, and thank you guys for all the support. And that sometimes means more than monetary things. Like, you know, like they were part of the growing of where we are at now today.
Absolutely.
And they tell other people, and it's like, it's a, it's a great trickle effect that we can be sometimes at this top of this pyramid and really feeding everybody downwards. And then for down, that means they're going up. So yes. it's just a great feeling. So I'm so proud of our employees and the people there and the people going through this journey with us. And we're thankful because as we know, they have our back, we have their back too. So.
Yeah, and sometimes having their back looks differently to them. We've had situations where we saw that this just wasn't a good fit. The seat wasn't a good fit, or they weren't ready to be a part of an organization that valued things like accountability and integrity.
Teamwork.
Or the team spirit that we possess here, and that's okay. And then we've had people that left and then a few years later came back and they were dialed in. They understood what we were looking for and it worked out well. But the point is that you are the one who is leading. If you're leading an organization or you're owning an organization, you're the one who decides what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. And understanding that there has to be something like the raised up core value, those that's the filter that we run these decisions through. And you got to know what you stand for, or you're not standing for anything. So.
Thank you guys again. We're at our time a little bit over, but we'll have another podcast and you guys are more than welcome. Yeah. Definitely ask questions because if you're not knowing where your organization's at and you need some help with it, leave some comments, leave some questions. We'll love to help you.
Yep. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us on the Raise Up podcast. You can find us at raiseupmindset.com. Our socials link there so you can get anything that you need from Instagram, Facebook, our shorts. You can download the podcast straight from the website. If you're listening on another platform, please like, subscribe, share. We're just getting the word out on really the encouragement and propelling the entrepreneurial movement in our communities. Thanks again for listening. We've got something special at the end of our episodes now, where it's called the Raise Up Response. This is just a sheet that if you want to dive deeper, it's got questions, it's got takeaways from the podcast. Click the link below and you can request it. It'll take you to our website and find it in your inbox. Thanks again. Bye-bye.